Lime, duh.
We're recording over here. Now I'm recording. And the podcast will begin right now. Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa. Oh, shit. Where's the moo? Where's the... Hold on. Looking for the moo. Woo! Do it again, guys. It's better when you do it. Let's see. Where should I go here?
Not changing my lifestyle.
Oh, wait. Never mind. Let's go.
He should probably change his lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, guys, you heard it here first. You heard it here first, guys.
There's never been a more opposite, like, the guy who the most should change his lifestyle saying, I'm not changing my lifestyle.
I'm 4 or 5 women.
Hot start. Yeah, hot start.
I've been here for 12 years.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host. I am the couch champ, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donsky Blackamora, a.k.a. the funniest podcaster in the motherfucking universe. If you turn off my podcast, I'll fucking kill you. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba weasel,
gabba gay, 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 g
And
this is hot garbage.
Baby! All right, we're coming at you with all of our... We're back in action for your satisfaction with all our spicy, muy, muy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. What up, everybody? And before we get into it, never forget patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. We're back on track in all your bonus episodes, answering your questions in the Discord. We have an exclusive Discord server. I'm mentioning this at the top of this episode just to let you know, as Facebook seems to be absolutely crumbling into a pile of dog shit. I don't know what's going on over there. I get a message every day that, like, someone says they write bitch, like an ironic bitch in at the end of their in a wrestling group.
If the you write Autobots?
Like right? You get like banned for 24 hours. It's just fucking insane.
Right.
So the point is this, literally for $2 a month if you're a listener of this podcast, $2 a month, you could join our private Discord server, which is a blast, okay? If you've never used Discord before, don't be scared. Many would argue I'm boomer. Many would argue, Newman, would you argue that I have a boomer? Boomer?
Yeah, you're boomer.
When it comes to
100% boomer.
The amount of and times you text me about your phone, it indicates that, yes, you have early onset.
What did I message you recently?
What was that AT&T deal?
Yeah, the AT&T deal, which as I text you, I go, I could just go into AT&T and ask AT&T, but let me ask A. Newman and Newman. Yeah. And I did it, folks. And the point is that the Discord server, great conversations. Plus, let me answer your questions and interact with you guys. Me, Tulo Newman, we're on there, and we have a great time over there. So it's a way, it's not censored, and you have actual critical conversation. There was a conversation in there that was like, hey, people criticizing each other, but it was self-regulated like it should be, not with some Facebook mod just kicking us off. Anyway, starting to just annoy me with that. That being said, Facebook group, still cool, still rocking, but Facebook seems to be doing weird stuff with the groups. I don't know. Right? Wrong?
Yes. I've been getting nonstop admin alerts because someone... like call someone a Rudy Poo candy ass,
right? Like if you say that's like, the problem fuck? Is that it's clocking actual wrestling terms. Like right. Even if you put it in quotes, it doesn't matter, you know.
Right.
So it's like, all right, well, Facebook's just like, out of control.
The word jabroni violates the terms of service against harassment.
So Lily supports the podcast, which we do ourselves, patreon.com/comedians of wrestling, and get access to the Thunderdome, the Calzoom Thunderdome. Hold on. Pretend this cue went better. All right, we're going to go back, but we can't edit that, right, Phil? We don't have the budget to edit that.
Wow, what
no, we're out of money for the month.
We're out of free clippings of
it's
audio
only
clips.
October 3rd, but we've went through our entire budget for the
month. Yeah. So get on that Patreon. But we join the Cow Zoom Thunderdome.
Are you ready?
Are you ready for a good time? That's the SmackDown song. Oh man, is that AC/DC?
Yeah.
Is that a new song they made for it? Even though I know
they made it for the thumb. No,
it's for the. It's from their latest album that came out like a year ago.
Okay. And one of the guys is dead, right? So it's like they're just AC/DC now.
I mean. No, Bon Scott died in the 70s.
Yeah, right. The guitarist guy died, right?
No, I don't know what I'm talking about. Alive.
Is he in John Mayer's band? Okay, yes. That's the only thing I know about Dave Matthews Band and John Mayer, the two only artists alive. Had a combo with my friend the other day where he said one of his favorite songs, and I'll tell you, his name's Shebs. You guys know Jason Shapiro? Had a combo where he was saying that one of his favorite songs is a Nirvana song. And I was like, you're a fucking liar, bro. You're a liar. Your favorite song is like Oasis. Just get the fuck out of here.
Do you know the other AC/DC? AC/XDC?
No, what's that?
The hardcore band or whatever?
Yeah. Antichrist Demon Core?
Yeah. I mean, they just stole their name. I just think, I don't know. I'd never listened to them. I'm not even the biggest AC/DC, like true AC/DC mark.
This is their theme, right? This is their big hit.
I feel like if you're gonna call yourself AC/DC, like you should just get sued. You should just get sued. Like I don't care. You can't just call your. I can't call myself Metallica with like a K and like fucking just walk around like it's. I came up with the name. These fucking Generation Z.
Are you burying them? Do you want to officially bury that band?
Bury them. Block it in.
They're buried. They've been buried.
I haven't even listened to them for a second.
Wait, guys, here's another sound effect for burying people.
Where did John Cena go? Honestly.
He's the king of burying and the king of disappearing now. I mean, you can't see him. All I do is text Nicole by memes of "You can't see me, John Cena" stuff. She loves it.
I mean, like I feel like John Cena's return was like irrelevant. It almost felt like it didn't even happen
because, like we said last week, WWE's model is what one person will sell tickets. And what attraction, spectacle can we put on TV? Is it John Cena? Is it Brock Lesnar? Is it what legend can we have? Instead of building a fucking TV show, they're like, what guest star is going to make people tune in? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so anyway, listen, let's get into it. Logan Paul gets me to tune in. Folks, he's here. He's a nasty boy. Nasty Newman in the house. Newman.
About it. I'm fired up. I woke up on.
I can tell.
I woke up on a bed that had all wrong sides. You know what I mean?
That's just like kind of how the comedians wrestling rings have. The whole ring's the hardest part of the ring, right?
The hardest part of the ring.
Entire ring.
My bed is all wrong sides.
Yeah, exactly. Many are saying that. And he's here, baby. He's the supermark, the market tech, the Austin, Texas fuckboy. Nick Tulo.
I would like to say, members of the House of Tulo, please stand up. Thank you.
Bim, 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 bim.
Oh, wait, look at this merch.
Bim, 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 bim. Is that Kane?
Yes, it is.
Wait, I gotta take these glasses off. I literally was like, why can't I see anything?
That is dope. That's dope as fuck.
That shirt is dope. It just says red?
Real.
Yeah.
It says real? Oh, it said real.
Red.
What's it a parody of?
I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure.
I'm living for these. Speaking of, let's just.
It says Hellfire and Brimstone. In your house, 420.
Tulo, can we actually start talking about this Life Rips tattoo? What's the move with that? I mean, if for people that don't know this, Nick Tulo, he was a huge Chris D'Elia fan. And I don't know, maybe still might be. I don't know. I actually don't really know much about that situation.
It all happened in the course of three weeks.
I don't know anything about the – I don't know anything. You got that tattoo and came immediately to my house, which is a fun fact. But
And then I met Jamie, and Jamie thought I lived in L.A.
Yeah, that was very funny. So, Tulo, you have this Life Rips tattoo. I'd say this. Look, I don't know anything about this Chris D'Elia situation. I just didn't read about it. But I know it's he's probably canceled enough where you don't want this tattoo anymore. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, the good part is it says life rip. So it's not the worst thing to have. Like, I didn't get like one of his taglines that was like, I don't know what the other things he used to say. But like, at least it's.
But is there any plan to cover it?
Yeah. I'll cover it.
And do you have any idea what you're going to cover it with? It may be a Joe Rogan.
Yeah. I'll probably get Seth Rollins. I'll probably get Seth Rollins' face.
Maybe you want to get an anti-vax tattoo over
you should
that?
You should get it covered with a Velveteen Dream tattoo.
Yeah.
Yo, we should just pile cancellations on top of cancellations there.
I should just have a cancellation sleeve.
So that would like be a those... funny fucking sleeve of just like R. Kelly name crossed off, Velveteen Dream name crossed off, Chris D'Elia name crossed off,
and then it just eventually just says guy. I have bad taste, it's just eventually no, but Tulo, I was actually legitimately asking like, are you gonna cover it?
Yeah, I'll cover it.
You should get it changed.
I feel like it's gotta be wrestling tat. No,
love, life, strippers.
Oh, right. I can strips.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Life strips.
Strippers.
Yeah.
Life strips. Sponsored by Colgate.
Yeah. Life.
Love. Life. Strippers.
Yeah, you're like, this is just what I live by. Yeah. I see life rips in the middle. No.
No, it's even though it's completely different font words life rips.
To defend Tulo for a second here, this is where like life totally fucked him over because the serendipity of it all fucked him because he met Chris D'Elia like that day, right? And then he felt like it was a sign, right?
No.
You were in LA for like 24 hours and then bumped into him?
Here's the problem. I have such bad.
I don't know why this is what we're talking about, but it is.
There were two different times I was in LA. One time I met Chris D'Elia. At a hotel. And it's funny because, not funny, sorry, wrong word to say. It's wild because he was probably there at that hotel in LA where he lives running his.
Wait, did you just say it's funny?
Yes.
You just say that's funny? All right, you're getting buried. Sorry, bro. Sorry, but he's buried. That's not funny.
But then there was another time where I came to LA and then. While I was waiting for Dan to, I think he was doing you had a fucking casting. I think you were doing a casting. I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go and get a tattoo. And I walked into a thing and I said, I just want to get Life Rips tattooed right here on my arm.
Yeah, just like and in my neighborhood. He got it while you were waiting for me to be around.
It was right before COVID. That was the before COVID trip. When I flew to LA, we recorded the pod and I just flew home because I was out in San Francisco.
Crazy. And it's crazy because that shit's like 2 years ago now, even though it feels like it was this year, right? Because like of the just a blip in time where literally all of our lives changed in so many ridiculous ways. And it was just like a blip. Here's a funny, weird Hollywood thing. Like yesterday I was talking to my friend and then we were talking about WandaVision and then we just are turning a corner and there's a woman with her dog and it's Catherine Hahn. You know, like you're like that's weird LA shit where you're like, you know what I mean? You're like, literally, what the fuck? Like, how the fuck is that? You know what I mean?
Synchronicity, bro.
Yeah. It's the beauty of LA, and it's maybe the only cool thing about LA.
Yeah. 100%.
And the weather. The other day, the weather, by the way, this is a wrestling podcast, but the other day, the weather was bad in LA, and I was like, what is this dump?
Define bad because I guess
I meant
it was
cloudy.
That day.
Wasn't even raining.
That
no precipitation. Like
beautiful.
It
was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, it was like 70 degrees.
Yo, bro, I'm so fucking fragile now. I've gone so soft. Like if it's gloomy out in LA, okay?
Yeah.
And that means it's still perfect temperature with no humidity. I'm talking about it's overcast, right?
Right.
And I can't see the sun, I'm full on depressed. Okay. like that's how soft I've gotten. Okay.
You know what my secret is?
But yeah.
I'm always depressed.
Oh, baby.
Is this a new segment? The depression session?
SSRI.
Yo, SSRI. Yo. We play upbeat music and then and talk about how depressed
I'm
we are.
I'm fucking depressed. I'm fucking depressed.
John Cena is doing the best he can. John Cena is doing the best he can.
I hate my life. Yeah. I'm fucking depressed.
Yo, here's a yo. Speaking of depression.
Oh, okay. You should just get a question mark next to it. Life rips.
Yo, you're speaking of depression, by the way. So I was like, this is kind of nuts. This is a random thing, but, well, two things. I'll start with this thing. One thing, The Rock has talked about dealing with depression before, right?
Yes.
I almost don't believe him because I'm like, does he even have a second to like be depressed? Like I'm saying, like when I'll have like if I have like a and I'm not clinically depressed by the way, so I always think the word depressed is like a little too charged sometimes nowadays to use. You know what I mean? Like I don't have a diagnosed clinical depression or anything. I'll just be like I'll have like days where it's hard to be productive because it feel like and you feel down, right? Just like just a classic down day, right?
Fucking poser.
Yeah, yeah, yo, fuck you guys, all right, whatever. I mean, listen, I also haven't done the work. I could go to the doctor. And get, I'm sure they'd be like,
it couldn't be Dan Black participating in mental illness tourism, could it?
Wait, I've never heard that term. Is that a real term?
When you don't have, yeah, when you don't
No, I know exactly what that is. I got a friend who's so fucking mad at my other friend for that exact, but that's the, I never had the term. Yeah.
Mental illness tourism.
Oh, my God. Hey, guys, welcome to this pro wrestling podcast. I mean, when do we just drop the wrestling to be at all?
Look, I'm just comedians of podcast.
Depression.
Hey. Comedians of Podcast. Now Comedians of Podcast does not sound like that bad of a title.
Comedians of Podcast. It's finally we become. That is the deepest of deep cuts. And I love we have a good amount of listeners who know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. What a time.
Yo, Comedians of Podcast.
I am clinically depressed. I am clinically depressed. I do have a diagnosis.
Okay, way to bring it down, bro.
And
all right, hold on. I'll bring us back up.
Yeah. And I would say that I would argue, right? So like so much of it, right? For me personally, right? Yeah. Something I've discovered with my therapist, Comedians of Wrestling, by the way. Comedians of Podcast.
Yeah, by the way, Wrestling Podcast.
Phil changed the
chiron. Hold on, don't worry. I'll make sure people know it's wrestling.
Okay. So like most of my personality has been constructed over the course of 36 years to sort of keep people from being aware of how sad I am all the time, right? So I think that The Rock would arguably like if he was like, no, I'm actually super depressed. And like the reason that I like exercise all the time and I have to stay ahead of my health and I have to like be posting about positivity and I have to have this like this attitude is because I'm depressed.
Okay.
I totally buy that.
So that's the thing is that like I'm not. Well, we'll get, you know, and I wonder if wrestlers connect with this shit. But obviously, again, not clinically depressed, but I just mean when I don't know why we're going into that, but like clinically depressed, I mean, like I've had friends
it's
who
important.
Like there's no way they can get out of bed.
Right.
Like it's not they're not even sad about a particular thing. You know what I mean? Like my when I'm upset, I can pinpoint exactly what I'm upset about. You know what I mean? And so it's that where I have friends who have had issues where like they literally it's great. It's just chemical. It's like they can't move. Like, you know, and they need medicine or they're not going to be able to function. And they're not upset about anything. So that's why I say that. I don't know what I'm saying. Right. But
it's a slow chemical.
Right. So The Rock is so fucking functional. You know what I mean? It's so hard to imagine like those guys being like, you know, like a guy like that, like having any issues getting out of bed. I mean, I don't think he has a bed.
No.
Now, that being said, I was listening to a podcast. I'll recommend this, by the way. It's like a weird plug because it's like, here, guys, listen to the most popular podcast, you know, like Dax Shepard's podcast. Okay. He had on Kumail and Rob McElhaney, and it was just called Men's Bodies because they're like three dudes who are like jacked up. I guess Dax Shepard's jacked up, by the way, from the convo. I didn't know that about, like, I don't know him at all or any capacity, but I know Rob got jacked up for Sonny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
in the most hilarious way, like, shoot putting on so much fat that just to, like, for the longest joke ever to get shredded.
And I'll always respect him deeply for that move.
Yeah.
And then Kumail, obviously a guy I actually know, who's just ripped up. But they had a combo that did not disappoint on that podcast, which was nice. Just talking about guys, just guys' bodies and just being obsessed with it. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah.
But also part of the conversation was about how no one cares really. And no one wants to talk about it. And it's deeply uncool, the mindset and the mentality that you have to have. And no one wants to be around this behavior. So it's like, it's weird because you're going for something attractive and it's deeply unattractive to everyone around you, the process of getting there, which was very funny. Anyway, it was a very funny conversation. So
and
anyway,
stops right there.
No. Here's what my point was. My point was, I was plugging it. My point was, I'm getting it back, baby. I'm getting it back.
My point is,
I'm very caffeinated. We're recording at a different time now. My point is that those guys were saying the mental component of doing it. Like I know this about myself now. I have to be in shape,
right?
Or I'm in trouble. Like you know what I mean. Like it is so. So it's funny because and I bring this up because a lot of listeners message me. I think even a messenger while we're sitting here, I'm getting messages. Someone just messaged me, and I won't say who they are, but they're like, I put on 20 pounds, and you know what I mean. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, and I love hearing it. I need it for my brain. You know what I mean.
Right.
And I don't know if that has to do with anything, but it's also just like, I admire dudes who don't give a fuck about their body and shit like that. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I feel like I need it so much, you know?
I don't think it exists. I don't think that exists. I think everybody gives a fuck about their body. And it what is different is the level of motivation and discipline. And then outside of that, then the other factors that affect your motivation and discipline. But
yeah,
I think every guy, I think men's body issues are very real. They're not like...
Yeah.
Priority numero uno is as a society, which I understand, but like, yeah, I think every guy gives a shit.
They were talking about it's like control issues and stuff like that, and I don't know anything about that, but I know like with I do know just from, I think Ziggler would be cool with me talking about it, but I know like when I see that the discipline he has, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's like he travels and is still, yeah, you saw that video of him, like the discipline he has, and also if you look at a guy like Dolph Ziggler, who's had one of the most impressive WWE careers ever. Ever. Like, if you look at the list, he's at the most matches. It's like him and Kane, right? Yeah,
right.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, that shit inspires me. Whereas, like, someone is... He also has the cash-in moment and has some of the most... He has one of just the most awesome careers ever. But, he might not be like as sexy as like a Kenny right now or something like that. But what impresses me is the guys who, like, when you look at Ziggler, to survive in a company like that long is so fucking impressive. You know what I mean?
Right.
And to
be doing his own thing too. Like, he like has a level of agency that nobody else seems to have. And
right.
On top of like a career, like it seems like it would be counterintuitive in WWE.
Perfect example is like Dirty Docs. Like, that wasn't approved, and then they just he started rolling with it, and then I think they made their own merch and like just went out there and did it, and then now, you know, he's like, he has the freedom to kind of do that thing, you know?
Right.
I'll never forget what he said on the pod about like, you kind of have to like go do what you want, and then maybe you get yelled at when you go back to Gorilla, maybe you don't, and you just have to kind of like keep taking that risk because it's just
totally.
I mean, let's be real. We all know what we want, right? For Dolph, we want him to go to AEW, tag with his brother, and become champions. Like, I mean, what are we? The Hollywood Hunks is the greatest tag team to ever exist. Okay, let's do it and just give it to us. Like,
talk about pro wrestling at Tulo. I think is what we also want. You're right. Yeah, I mean, look, obviously,
we want that for our guy, right?
Let's just go. I'm going to start over at AEW because I wanted to start on something for I totally agree. I mean, who doesn't want to see Ziggler get 25 minutes with a Kenny? Like, who doesn't want to see before Ziggler, you know, before he gets a little older. Like, who doesn't want to see a guy like that just go, right? Like, with these dudes. Because he gets squashed. He's one of the best in-ring guys, gets squashed by fucking Boogs. You know what I mean?
Right. Bro, and he'll do whatever he wants, too. So if he wants to come out and troll HBK and, like, do the whole thing, if he wanted to go there, he could do that. But the best part about him going to an environment like that is, one, he'd be one of the most respected guys in the locker room and would really help the guys that are, like, in his lane. Two, he will be able to tour the country and with no fucking restrictions. I don't think he really has it now, but, like, do the comedy stuff too. And like, if he wanted to do his own little comedy wrestling shows, he'd have that kind of fucking ability to do that. That doesn't exist for everybody in WWE. Like, right. You know, like, but if he was to do that, I want to see guys like that get that extra fucking level of freedom to, or wrestlers like that get that. Like, you know, what would Charlotte Flair be like in AEW? You know? What would Sasha Banks be like in AEW? Like,
sometimes I think it really comes down to if you look at AEW, and we'll jump over there, it's as simple. There's two elements: is like the artistic freedom that they're getting over there as performers to do, like, execute their vision. So Tony Khan knows if I do that, these guys will work triple hard for me. They do the work for me, right? Because they're executing their own vision. Now, he has to obviously make tough calls and just be like, I don't like that. He's going to have to do that, or I don't have this vision. But more likely than not, he's signing the right talents where he has to just nudge them this, right? This way, that way. Now, so I think that's cool. Let's jump into, because I want to do this for Newman, Malakai Black, who is your favorite wrestler by far, right? And I think if we look at Rampage and Dynamite this week, I think successfully dismantled the Nightmare Family, right?
Yep.
From within. And that, I was like, I think we always talk about him as a wrestler because his stuff that he does is kind of subtle. But this, he doesn't really openly take that much credit for it on mic. It's more just like, I shot missed at you, and then all of a sudden you're all turning against each other. And is that what his character is? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, how are you feeling about that?
No, I mean, he basically was like, he basically said, I'm like, I've grown weary of this, and I'm going to go collect, what did he say? He's going to go collect more tolls or something like that.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's just, he's sort of like that, like, there's that version, or there's that genre of wrestler, like Bray Wyatt was this too, where it's like, I am the adjudicator, and like, you're all so far up your ass, and I'm here to like, take you down a peg, except it's like with like psychological stuff.
Because I think he's getting so close to what we always wanted from him in AEW. He's getting so close, like where you don't
it's already
even,
there.
Right. I mean, I think this it's was happening. His. I totally agree. Like, it's happening. I think that you don't even think about him with a championship, right? Right. And that's a successful version of him, where it's like he's above. We always talked about him having that like Sting in the rafters view or whatever, which is like. Darby does it a little bit, but Darby's a whole other thing. He's like a daredevil, right? He has no care. And Malakai, now you're seeing a dude who's like, hey, he's this essentially a cancer on this company, you know, which is what I've always been begging for, a character who is quote-unquote like a cancer, like someone who's like, I see what's wrong here, and my only goal here is to write that in my mind. And his questions of right and wrong are not exactly clear to us, per se, but they seem to be some kind of anti-establishment, right?
Right.
Vision?
Yeah. I would say something about this, too, is how in that promo he referenced The Mist as being like something that is in you, inside you now, and like tearing you up from within. So like...
Right.
Usually, and what I was, Philip Hollingsworth told me this, was Black Mist is supposed to be a blinding mist, like in the lore of mists. Yeah. But his mist is like shooting like a spirit out, and it's going inside you, and it's like doing that. Like it's just like a soul almost, like a demon soul that's coming. And I'm like, oh my God, like holy shit, we have reached a level of a character that we all knew was possible, but just now is finally getting to tell it.
You know, I mean, like, I don't know if I said this on the pod, but like, just when I thought that I didn't need anything else from Malakai Black. He fucking sprays black mist.
Oh, I was screaming for it.
And I'm like, oh, yes, of course. Yes. Spooky mist.
Yes, spooky mist.
Yeah, he's it was fucking great. It's great. I love the zone that he's in. I can't believe that, like, I like his song makeup is getting more. The makeup, I like it. Even the shorts, he tweaked the shorts, and now I kind of dig the shorts a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. The only thing of my beef about the shorts is just from my shitty vanity standpoint, which is, like, they're not as flattering to his form as the undies. The undies make him look better.
If he was just in some, like, black mass, like, tiny, tiny, tiny Muay Thai shorts, it would be...
All just right.
Little tiny, tiny Muay Thai shorts.
We love tiny shorts, don't we, folks? Let's jump over to this draft for a second. Now, let's just talk about the concept of the draft, and we'll talk about this quick. Who cares? Like, the draft is just an absolute joke. There's no different. I just don't even want to talk about it because now I have AEW, so I don't have to waste my time talking about it. We know why the draft's stupid. These companies have no management structure or anything to know why it's different. It's not like they even try. They don't even try. They try for like one episode every fucking 2 years where it's like, oh, Steph runs one and Shane runs the other, and it's nothing, right? There's literally nothing, like nothing. They can't even pull off like – successfully being like, which they could do. It's like Fox. They have a Fox representative and a USA representative or an NBC Universal representative. And they're both being like, we want Becky. We want Becky. They can't even get that. It's the most obvious writing that honestly we would dig because it's work shoot. It's based in reality. It's like Fox actually gets Roman Reigns on TV and Becky, and they're fighting over the man. It's like, we want the man. Like, they can't even get that together, right? So this draft, just nothing. It's just nothing. So there's nothing to talk about. The only thing that I think is interesting is the only thing I can really think about that's truly interesting is the two things, which is, and I hate to be an asshole to, like, the women's division, but there's, the only interesting shit to do in the women's division is just run back Becky, Sasha, Charlotte, like something there, you know?
Yeah. Becky, by the way.
Like the only thing I really, really care about. I know we are arguing about Bianca being over and blah, blah, blah. I think Bianca could use to earn, to like build back up and get back there. In terms of like actual main event shit that I would really fucking be like, I want to see that is Becky, Charlotte, and then some kind of Sasha in the mix there. Still.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Becky, by the way, needs to just go face. Like, this whole fucking
McGregor. It's awkward, right? It's like
awkward.
It's all
a million bucks, though, man.
She looks
great.
So
loves
fucking
her.
Good. And also, dare I say, very attractive. Looking very great. Okay, whatever. Irrelevant. You guys all. All right, whatever. Fuck you guys. Becky's just a babe. But, although Becky or Seth, I don't know. It's it would be a tough choice for me. Well, white's irrelevant. I'm so used to just throwing white now because everything is about like clarifying what your gender, your race is. There's nothing to do with it. I mean, as a heterosexual cisgendered man, I think it'd be tough for me to choose between Seth or Becky. You know what I mean? I think that would be tough.
Why not both?
Absolutely. Oh, wow. Triple threat.
Porque no los dos.
A triple threat rules. And also, anything goes there. There's no DQ. So, anyway, folks, the interesting things for me in this draft are, I don't know what happened there, but we're leaving it, is who the fuck is going to wrestle Roman Reigns after Brock Lesnar? Like, he actually, so I was looking at this draft just to be like, all right, so Roman's staying on SmackDown. The only match I see for him is a Drew feud, right? They brought Drew over.
Yeah.
And so, he's the only baby right now that I see. Unless, and this is, Tulo brought this up. Tulo put this in my head. He didn't bring this up, but I'd watch a Jeff Hardy Roman Reigns feud also.
Mm. Like a baby. Did I put that in your head?
You said something about Jeff tagging with somebody. And then I was
like, no, Phil. Oh, Newman did?
I said, I said, I think Jeff Hardy and Brock should be a tag team.
Oh, right. So I was thinking about that, and I was like, I would watch And I think a crowd could really get into a Jeff Hardy Roman Reigns feud.
He's a good Jeff Hardy is a great underdog babyface. Yeah, that would be fun.
And also, he's constantly talking about on Twitter and stuff about wrestling Roman. He wants one last go at the title, and he's older, and he is one of the most over babyfaces like in WWE modern history. You know,
Roman
just not right
have
now.
To kill him. Roman would have to kill him at the end.
Right, yeah, but he's good at taking punishment,
make it a
right?
coffin match. Make it a coffin match or something. Just, you know?
Yeah.
At this point, who beats Roman? Like, you don't want to see Drew beat Roman, right? Like, that's a waste of this Roman run.
Right.
Jeff Hardy eking out a win over this Roman run is, like, something. I'm not saying I love it, but it's something.
I don't fucking know, man.
I don't see anybody beating Roman. Because all the guys who could beat Roman... This is literally what it is. All the guys who could beat Roman are in AEW. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, right? Like a Daniel Bryan. Or maybe Edge, imagine, but they just put him on Raw.
Imagine what an AEW draft would look like. Say AEW decided, whatever, we have two shows now. Rampage would be 2 hours. Dynamite would be 2 hours. You know how much fun an AEW draft would be? Tony Khan would be using the football stadium. He'd have a full draft board. There'd be a podium, wrestlers coming up. There'd be backstage interviews. It would be, like, it's not hard to do. But like, in that company, wins and losses matter. So you have that sports story. Like, it doesn't matter this draft in any kind of way. Just call it the Superstar Shuffle. And let's do a little dance, and then that's it. Stop calling it a draft. It's not a draft.
It's not a draft. What it is basically a change in your work schedule.
Yeah.
That's it. Your manager calls
you. You're changing your travel schedule for some of these guys. They just sit in the back anyway. It's like, what day you're eating catering.
Right, yeah. It's like your manager calls you, and it's like, look, I know you normally have off on Fridays, and you work Mondays. We're going to have to change that up because of business needs. You're going to be working on Fridays instead of Mondays. It's just how it is.
It's like, I don't even know what this, like, I didn't even watch it. Like,
I haven't watched you know, WWE and since Malakai Black appeared.
Yeah. And then disappeared and then reappeared.
Right.
You know, the crazy thing is that like, it's not like I'm shitting on WWE because I'm actually not. I'm just like, I wish it all just made more sense. Like, it is what it is now at this point. It's just a wrestling, they're just wrestling shows on TV. So if something's interesting, you could tune in. But like, nothing has gotten me in the last like probably month to say like, oh, I should watch. You know, like even the Big E stuff, like with the Big E saying he was going to cash in. I was just like, all right, well, they're either going to A, fuck it up, or he's going to win. So I don't know what they're trying to do. So I'll just find out, you know, like, but here's the thing, and I might blow a gasket here, is why did they split up the New Day again? Like, what is the fucking point?
That's such a great call, because I saw Kofi and Xavier got drafted together. You're like, what? Like, what are we, this fucking company makes no sense, you know? Yeah.
It's anyway. Almost as if they have no.
Aaliyah got drafted,
idea.
Though, by the way. I think that's like.
So did Hit Row. Hit Row is kind of cool. Yeah. But like, you know?
I don't even know
what's going on in NXT right now. It's like absolute chaos over there.
Akira Tozawa was drafted number 9 to Raw. Like, he said, has he done anything? Like, someone was like, yo, we got to get Akira Tozawa as number 9. He's the number 9 pick.
Yeah.
It's like pretty high up for Akira Tozawa, no?
Well, they only have like 20 dudes left, so.
Because like there's the Keith Bearcat Lee.
Poor Keith Lee. Poor Keith Lee.
This company is like, we got Nikki Ash.
Me and him hasn't wrestled since December of 2020. Like the T-Bar and Mace are now separated. Like,
yo,
whatever that was that they called themselves Retribution is no more.
Because you know why? WWE is now Vince McMahon taking like action figures and like,
these guys are going to fight now. It's just like, yo, the thing is like, it's like, imagine like WWE is like, it's like getting hazed or something, right?
Right.
Like, it's like, you're like, you, like, do all this work, and then it's like, all right, I guess I got to go there, possibly get humiliated while some guys get to just be called Randy Orton and look awesome. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know what I mean? Like, so, and then it's Ray and like Dominic Mysterio draft. They get drafted together. So Ray Mysterio is the former champion. You get, whatever. Like, if I'm them, I'd be like, all right, now, like, I look, whatever. Who cares? Why are we even? We have AEW to talk about. Let's just jump over. We don't have to do this anymore. You know what I mean?
No, we don't.
Because we can talk about cool shit. Like, the opening of Rampage this week is Bryan Danielson, the American Danielson.
Yeah.
The Dragon.
How many Bryan 69 cents memos
did you get? I got like five. I didn't get that many.
Oh, damn. We put it out to the patrons.
My new nickname is the American Danielson.
69 cents payments in his Venmo that we would get that merch made and put it on Pro Wrestling Team.
American Danielson. It.
We're 25 away. So 25, 69 cents payments at Dan Black Attack on Venmo. And we'll get the American Danielson merch made and put onto Pro Wrestling Tees.
Anyway, so Nick Jackson versus American Danielson to kick off Rampage. I mean, what the... Like, first off, Daniel Bryan looks...
What more do you want?
He looks... He looks like he's the Brock Lesnar of AEW. It's like he's fucking huge over there. But he also is kind of a beefy dude, you know? Like, people don't give Daniel Bryan credit for his actual physique. Like, you know.
Plant-based, too, which is wild.
No, not anymore, I think.
No?
I think he was, and then he got, like, kind of, he got, like, soy poisoning or something.
Soy poisoning?
Yeah. I don't know. People get whatever. All right. Can we just talk about the Young Bucks for a second?
Yes.
So I posted this thing from Jim Cornette, and like, why even talk about Jim Cornette? But he worked me, okay? Like, he's working me here, and I'm bringing up his quote. His quote was like something like, I'm not going to read his exact quote, but he had a quote being like, Young Bucks look like middle schoolers. They wrestle that style where they don't sell anything, and they look like they're in a video game. Right? I don't get it at all, okay? I just want to take a step back and just give tremendous praise to the Young Bucks to combat that. And just say, Young Bucks, there's room for what you do in pro wrestling, and not just room, tons of it. There's enough for what you do sparked its own company. So if you're some there sitting like, there's no room for this, it's like, shut your fucking mouth. This is the same thing that happened with the Ricochet Ospreay match, which is a match that was fucking a blast, an awesome thing, and does not take away from traditional Roman Brock style wrestling. Like, you can't deny when you see Roman Brock teeing off at the end of SmackDown that, like, that's also fucking sick. You know what I mean? Like, that's also, there's room for that. That, like, there's no denying that when Roman and Brock are punching each other, that's big fight feels, and that's just the deals, baby. You know? There's no question about that. But do not tell me there isn't room for Nick Jackson to do a flip off the apron and then take a air sprayer and cool himself down. You know what I mean? You're telling me that he sprays it on his dick while then Daniel Bryan hits him with a tope suicida. There's no room for that in pro wrestling. There's,
of course there is,
ample room for it. You know what I mean? And the Young Bucks are having so much fun. And I've been critical of them because there is an element of them where I'm like, I think they've really found it now, though. So, like, I'm not even going to bring up my complaints, but they're captivating and they're fun. So it's just like, it all goes back to that Ruby Soho quote, which is like a wrestler I'm not a fan of. But when she said AEW is, people sense that these wrestlers are being their most authentic selves and they respond to that. That is essentially what people dig about indie wrestling. And like, the Young Bucks, you sense that they're having so much fun. You sense that they're marks. You feel the work shoot element of wrestling that's hard to explain to people, of them backstage being like, yo, this would be so fun. Why don't we do that? And they're like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. And then they do it.
That's exactly what's going on.
Right? And you're like, sorry that you can't enjoy people executing a fun vision for themselves. You know? There's room
perfect
for it
example.
All.
Perfect example is Wheeler Yuta and Sexy Chucky T in barber shirts at the end coming out to cut off Jack Evans' hair. Like, it's like, how much fun are they having during that segment? You know, like, shit that they can just throw at the wall. Let's do a hair versus hair match, the main event Rampage.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's do it.
Yeah, like, you know,
AEW is like one big Daniel. It's like one big like DCM bit show where it's like everyone's just like backstage. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, get on. It's like go to the prop closet, see what you can find. It's funny, and then like it's come out.
Scissors,
dude. You're so right. Like all AEW's reeks of UCB to me. Like there is a moment where at the end of, I don't know, is it the end of Rampage or in the middle or whatever, and I'm pivot point by the second for the second. Props to AEW for how hard they push Jungle Boy, right?
Yeah.
Remind me to get back to that point. Okay. But there's a moment where Kenny Omega is literally outside on the ramp, and Jungle Boy is choking out Nick Jackson, maybe, right?
Yeah.
And then Daniel Bryan's in the ring, and they're like, "Yeah, come on, Kenny, come on, come on!" And Kenny's like, and he just can't fucking resist. And it's so stupid. It's like, why would you go in there? There's like four guys, like you know what I mean? Like, why? But he can't resist. He goes there, immediately gets into the fucking hold by Daniel Bryan, and then they go to a bird's eye shot. Right? They go to literally a bird's eye view of which, by the way, does WWE fuck with the bird's eye view at all?
No.
I adore that cam, that angle, you know. I remember from MJF was talking about looking up at the lights promo, right? But and then they're just giving fucking tandem, you know, like in unison holds, you know, and you're like, oh, Kenny just walked into it like an asshole, and you're like, well, it's just wrestling, and like that is what this Kenny character is. He's kind of just like a full-on anime cartoon character. It's actually one of the moments where I was like, all right, I see Kenny's vision possibly taking form for me here. You know what I mean? You know?
Right. Yeah.
Which is that he is an absolute cartoon character.
Right.
Now, that doesn't, my brain's going to go like, that's a little tough because he's also the best wrestler, but I think Daniel Bryan is making him work, right?
Yeah.
Because Daniel Bryan's coming in as a legitimate threat. And calling him out for being like a little bitch, you know?
Right. Well, just got banned from Facebook. We know this about Kenny, right? Is that he thrives when he has somebody that is like at his level and makes him show up and makes him perform. We saw it with Ibushi. We saw it with fucking Okada. Like it's like he needs that. He needs a Bryan Danielson to be fully Kenny.
And Daniel Bryan... Bryan Danielson, the American Danielson, the Dragon American son, is grounding the whole show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like because it's like, hey, here's the most, this guy main evented WrestleMania this year.
Right.
Right? You know what I mean?
Which is insane.
Right? So you're like, he comes. That's why the beauty of like a Drew McIntyre in AEW, I think people underestimate.
Oh my God.
Drew McIntyre is a guy that if I was AEW, I would fucking love to get my hands on, because I know he's like huge and would dwarf a lot of these guys. But if you remember, he also like worked the indies pretty hard. He is an indie guy. He just happens to look like a traditional WWE talent and have that background. He has both. But him coming in as just being like the AEW destroyer, almost in a heel capacity or something like that, he could be really interesting. Plus, him versus Luchasaurus. I mean,
come on. I saw a dark NXT match a few years ago, and they did it on other darks. I don't think it ever hit TV, but Malakai Black and Drew McIntyre tagged together a bunch in NXT. And side by side, like he's not like Drew is obviously huge, but like next to even Malakai Black, like it's not a crazy difference. And I would love to see even something like that. I would love to see those two.
The amount of competitors for Kenny,
compared
to the amount of opponents for Roman, it's one that's there's almost infinite,
right?
And then there's one where there's like literally one or two.
I have a moment that I think would be awesome to happen.
Let's do it. Wait, hold on. Let me lower the cage for you,
please.
Because if we're big moments have cages.
This just happened in my brain right now. You guys are talking about all these things.
Yeah, sorry. We were marking out pretty hard there. I was on
I was in my brain.
Mark Overlord! Yeah. Malakai Black, Kenny! Oh my God, Mark Kenny! Overlord. What a true game! Oh my God! Plus, I get 25 minutes. They get to actually go. Like, it's amazing. They won't schmazz them finish because they don't even schmazz that much in AEW. They actually, these matches actually, they kind of like go to like a real finish. They don't even care. Plus, they keep track of the record so you know what they're doing. Oh my God.
Guys.
You guys didn't think about it. No, I honestly, what's Tulo's point? Lower the cage. I'll just say this. When you talk about the record, I'm gonna lower the cage for you one second.
No,
when
they ahead,
records Mark, in AEW, I actually got a venti.
Yeah, venti. Yeah, I went for round two on my coffee.
Yo, dudes. I mark out so hard for records in AEW.
Dan's overstimulated.
Yeah. I mark out, so I literally go like, what's it? I'll literally be watching it like a real sports fan for the first time in my life. I go like, yo, what is like Jungle Boy's record this year? Like, he's got to have a good record. Like, I'll just be like, his record's got to be like pretty fucking good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Orange Cassidy's like 17-1.
Wow.
Like, wow. Yeah, yeah. Pretty good. So,
and then you can see him having promos, like, you know what to say to each other because you just go like, you're 17-1, but the caliber of wins, you're wrestling fucking jabronis like Jack Evans. My wins are this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then he could just pick, fine, I'll beat those guys. You're, like, it writes itself when you actually have a structure, right? Because then it's a sport. It's grounded in sports, right? So if you ground it in sports, but you keep it scripted, you have an actual thing to write. You know, it writes its... all right, Tulo, I'm lowering the cage.
Go. AEW does a really awesome thing where they take the past and they kind of like reinvent it. So moments, things that are happening. But now with this forbidden door being open, the one thing I want to happen is for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to come over together as the new Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, call them the Outsiders. They come in, and there's a mystery person that's gonna join them, and it's either Daniel Bryan or like CM Punk, and they fucking just tear AEW down from within, and that's it. Because when something like that happens, you know AEW will knock something like that out of the park. If they came together, those are the two guys I think that. That's it. Like, you don't need anybody else. Those two guys need to come over here. They are part of that whole entire crew. They've always been. And it would just fucking, it would make AEW the best of all time.
It's a cool idea. That's cool. Nothing else to say. For time, I got to move on to the other thing. Yeah, of course. All the shit you can do is great.
I just want those guys over here. That's all.
We talked about this a little in the bonus episode, but it's worth talking about on the main episode here, is this Bobby Fish thing is another amazing element of AEW, and it's just part of the forbidden door, you know, is like, you're like, they're now successfully bringing Twitter into the work elements of it. It's like Bobby Fish, I want to wrestle at TNT, and then Sammy Guevara's first match is Bobby Fish, you know? A guy who's not even in AEW. It's like, right. Yeah, well, we can just hire these guys. Plus, these guys are happy to get on TV because it doesn't fuck with any of their other contracts, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, other bookings. Did you guys see that Braun Strowman is going to wrestle EC3?
Don't care.
I think it happened already.
I don't know. I saw just a picture of it.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Do not care. Adam Scherer, the actor who plays Braun Strowman, is such a deeply corny motherfucker that I cannot be on board with anything that he does. He hashtags like a fucking 50-year-old woman on Facebook. He is so far up his own fucking ass. There's a reason he went to Impact and not to AEW. Because Impact is fucking, let's face it, Jabroni City, USA, population 2, ECW and fucking Braun Strowman. They went there probably because they're not that well liked backstage. And if you're not at AEW and you're not liked there, it's like, well, everybody cool is there, so what the fuck is wrong with you? I am so off put by that whole situation because you can tell that they feel as though they are doing something very important, and it's like, bros, this is mid at best.
He had that moment where he criticized people in the indies, like during the pandemic, like, oh, right, you should be working for a bit. And now, like, I don't think that's someone that a lot of the, right,
I'm going to make my personal experience universal. And I'm going to say that because I drove up, you know, and this is a totally real story that happened exactly the way that I remember it. I had no money and I had a car and I went up and then I was fine. So everybody else can do it if I did it. Like the most myopic, fucking just dumb boomer brain bullshit. Fuck off. Boring. Fix it.
Yeah, totally. Two things fired I want to mention is Jade Cargill seems to be now they're going to try to give her shine now, right? Like they probably think she's trained enough and she's ready to go.
Sheesh.
So that's going to be pretty exciting to see her because
she's massive.
Does she not look like a $5 million? I mean, Jesus massive. Christ. Can you believe Vince greatest. Didn't get his hands on her? I mean, what is he doing? You know what I mean? Like she seems like exactly somebody he would try to get. But I'm excited to see her. Excited to see where she goes. I mean, look, I just want to remind us of. Fuck, what was I going to talk about? Hold on. Wait. I can't lose this point. This is my point. I can't lose this point. Oh, we got to get this. I got distracted literally by a picture of Jade Cargill. Like I was
at
looking
brunch? At one of her at brunch.
Well, there's the one where she's giving the middle finger. No, I didn't see her bunch of middle finger one. Then I was just watching a clip of her hit Thunder Rosa with the chair and I got completely distracted. You know?
Dude, there's a picture of her like
I know
brunch,
here's my point.
She's in this gold dress and just sitting there. I'm like, imagine being at brunch and this
goddess.
Incredible
ahead,
goddess. Sits next to you and you're just like, how am I supposed to have my avocado toast when this is going on? Like, sipping my mimosa.
When I'm sitting next to the avocado most, folks. Yeah, exactly. Here was my point. When I really think about, so, all right, me and Tulo talked about this a little on the bonus episode this week, but like, like we were talking about Kevin Owens, whose contract's up in January. And I was
dear
like,
God,
I will not.
I just looked at that brunch picture. Sorry to interrupt.
Wait, I look at this.
Fucking goddamn it.
Like, it's insane.
She's a mom too, right?
Oh, yeah. God.
Hardest job in the world.
Oh, holy. Literally the best professional wrestler.
Oh my God. What?
He doesn't get any better than her.
Babe. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
I'm about to dip into my steel cut oats. And I look over and I'm like.
Some people are magic, folks. Yo, here's the deal. Kevin Owens contract up, right?
Yeah.
So, in January, and I was like, yo, is he going to stay? And I'm like, my brain still wants to say that Kevin Owens will stay in WWE. Because he is booked pretty great, right? Like, he does main event pay-per-views, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not doing that ever again. We will see. No. I will tell you, expect mid-2022 Kevin Owens in AEW. I doubt he can resist. Right?
Yeah. No shot. He stays at
right.
WWE.
Right.
No
I'm not taking that bet. I've been off. I was off with Cole. So that being said, the thing about that, and I think about this moment when I talk about what AEW, what their actual potential is, right? And I think about the moment where Hot Topic was at WWE shows and was like, we want that shirt. Everyone's wearing that shirt. And WWE was like, oh, that's not ours. And it was the Bullet Club shirt. And then they got a deal with New Japan to sell their t-shirts because they were like, they literally saw all of those t-shirts.
I never knew that. That's pretty.
Yeah, that's a fact. That was a thing that actually happened.
There was a point like at the peak of like the Bullet Club sort of like.
It was the only shirt.
You could not in LA. I would be walking around and no bullshit see at least one Bullet Club shirt a day.
Yeah.
Which is insane to think about.
Yeah, it was insane. But so
it was a time when Too Sweeting was CDC approved, you know?
Right.
So two things. One thing I think is that AEW needs to get their merch game a little stronger.
Yes.
Because right now their merch game right now is quantity based. It's like let's just like new shirt. And they make money that way. But I think it's about the potency of a single shirt. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think they should. I think that would help them like go to the next level. But really, when I think about that, and the fact that like Kevin Owens might come over, I'm not going to be a mark anymore. I think AEW has a tremendous future. You know what I mean? That, yep. Right, with the fact that Vince will die in the next 10 years, knock on wood, whatever, and Tony Khan does not seem to be... Tony Khan does not, you know, I don't wish him dead. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
just funny, like how you can take that anyway. Vince will die in the next 10 years or whatever. Knock on wood.
I meant it for his health. I don't want Vince to die. You know, like, Vince is so important to my life, whether I like it or not, you know. Mm. And it's just fucking exciting. It's exciting to watch something that you can actually get behind in this way. You know what I mean? It's fucking insane. It's like
proof is in the pudding, right? Look at their
revolutions happen, baby. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Full Gear is already outselling Survivor Series, and Full Gear is in Minneapolis, and Survivor Series is in Brooklyn. Like it's like happening. This is year two. Like it's already going on. Like that's
right.
Go, Dan.
Go ahead, Nick. You said you were gonna blow a gasket, but that Dan just literally.
I also gotta go. Yo, he the thing like, is. the thing about this is that WWE does not seem to be making any moves to correct any of this. That's what has changed it to me. It's like when I watched that Demon Finn match, Demon Reigns match, I was like, okay, they don't understand the actual threat that AEW is. That's my thought. That's it.
Remember when Finn came out and he's like, oh.
Finn looks so uncomfortable. Honestly, Finn should go. Finn, if I'm Finn, I'm going to AEW. Like the second 100%.
Are you fucking kidding me? Bullet Club.
Yeah. They're getting all those guys, dude.
And then AJ,
goes,
and everything just fucking ends.
I would kill right now, AJ. Holy fuck! If there was like a GoFundMe to get AJ to move to AEW, I would be
and
part
then
of that.
The hilarious
he's got a contract for a few more years, though, right?
When AJ shows up in AEW, it'll be like too late. I think that's.
Imagine though how funny it is to have to then reconcile. Like every one of these guys were literally jumped out of the Bullet Club, and then to come back in and be like, ah, hey, what's up?
Good.
Yeah. Oh man. Anyway, really fucking exciting. Really exciting. But so anyway, I got to run. The bonus episode this week, though, we'll see who's around to do it. But we'll record that. Oh, my God. I mean, whatever. No comment. But
you're just eating avocado toast.
Absolute stunner.
Man, this avocado toast with the smoked salmon. Oh, so good. What the fuck is that, going on over here?
That's like star power. That is the visual. What? Version, right? That's like the visual representation of star power, right?
Right. Like, it's like, are your home fries made with russets or what?
Let me get your lunch.
God, is that you? Like,
they're like, we need to redo X-Men because we got a new Storm, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks like Storm, right? That's kind of her look. But yeah,
gasket blown.
And for all the fucking haters out there that says she wasn't ready, they can't put. She's been ready. She's fucking. She can wrestle too, and she beat the shit out of Thunder Rosa with that chair.
Everybody. So we'll be talking about the bonus episode, which seems to be we recorded after Dynamite. We'll be talking about Dynamite this week, which is just. I'm pumped to watch it. Holy shit! Is that we get Sammy Bobby Fish on Dynamite?
Yes.
That's going to be a blast to see. Woo. Oh, man. All right. And we'll probably get, what, Daniel Bryan versus Matt Jackson on Rampage or something this week? Right?
No. There's it's the Super Click. It's the Elite versus, it's an 8-man tag. The Elite versus the fucking
Luchasaurus
Jungle.
And Christian Cage.
Jungle Express and Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan with the Jungle. Yeah. Anyway. All right, everybody. So patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Join the Discord. Like, that's what I just want to remind you guys. Join the Discord. Also, subscribe to our YouTube. If you're thinking what we're doing, those are the two things that are, like, automatic. The YouTube, you can watch the video of what we're doing, and it's free. And then Discord is literally $2 a month. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Join a great conversation over there.
You can see Dan blow a gasket live on.
I did, like, a full-on Austin Powers. You always see, like, a babe. It's like, oh man, hey everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Oh, also, sorry, Live show will be Survivor Series weekend in New York City. Just keep reminding you that. More details coming soon. All right, now keep watching Wrestling Kisses. Cheers up!